We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We always love the message and the way he breaks down the data he gets from NBA games. Howard Beck, senior writer, Sports Illustrated, nice enough to join us here again on Damon Ratto and Kolsky. Howard, as always, thanks for your time. How you doing?
Doing all right, fellas. How are you?
Man, we're doing really well. We can't help but think what the world might be looking like for the Golden State Warriors had Kevin Durant stuck around town. He did not, obviously. He goes.
You're still thinking that now? It's been like 2 years.
I know, but it's hard to get over someone who is that special. It really, really is. And I'll say this, though. I felt like Kevin Durant probably did earn more credit with a very harsh critic of the country in defeat than he did in wins with the Warriors, which is kind of why I think he left. And God, he was spectacular in defeat in this series. He was otherworldly at times, and but for a shoe size, he might be in the Eastern Conference Finals.
See, this is why he never admits to being 7 feet tall, because then he'd have to admit to his shoe size also. And what he's really trying to do is shorten the shoe size so that it won't encroach on the 3-point line. I have no idea what I'm saying. No, I mean, he was incredible, but, I mean, lest we forget, he did go to Brooklyn with Kyrie as a package deal and certainly was influential, I would imagine, behind the scenes, and Harden arriving there by trade. So if they were whole, and then they likely win the conference finals and or win their series, go to the conference finals, maybe go to the finals and win a championship, and he's getting all the same criticism that he got in Golden State.
Is there... Now that we've gotten to the conference final stage with so many guys banged up or hurt, that it's going to be hard to be fully satisfied with whoever comes out of this as a champion, because there are so many things that have been weird about this play, weirder than most playoffs, that whoever survives won't get sort of the credit that a champion normally gets because of all the madness around them?
I'll apply the same principle I applied last year during the bubble season, which was if the champion looks like a legit champion in terms of their construction, their star power, the talent is evident, then everybody's fine with it. So LeBron and Anthony Davis win a championship, and yeah, there's always going to be people who, because they're always looking for ways to denigrate LeBron James or don't like the Lakers or whatever, they're going to say, ah, bubble season. Or if you didn't think that the Miami Heat was legitimate, you're going to find ways to put down what they accomplished. But my feeling at the time was, before that playoffs in the bubble, was as long as it's not some it couldn't be the Indiana Pacers. Sorry, Indiana. If the Pacers won it all, we'd go like, ah, asterisk, massive asterisk, something went horribly wrong. But it was LeBron James, who's been to nearly every finals for the last decade plus, and they won a championship. So it didn't feel anomalous. And this one, similarly, if, let's say, Kawhi Leonard comes back healthy and Kawhi Leonard and Paul George win it all, that looks like a championship team. They've got two top 15 or wherever you want to rank them guys. If the Suns win it with Chris Paul, a future Hall of Famer, assuming he comes back from COVID protocols soon, and Devin Booker, who's an incredible young star and great balance and a nice team, like, that's not going to look anomalous. The Bucks have a two-time MVP in Giannis. The only anomaly would be like if Atlanta won it all, right? And they're really super talented, and they've done a really nice job of drafting and putting together a team, but because they haven't been in the playoffs in several years and they just got back to the playoffs and on top of that are making this deep run, like, if they won it all somehow, that would be then people are going to go like, it's because we had a really strange year and a bunch of guys got hurt. But the other three teams, you know, they look and feel like what we're used to seeing in championship teams in this league. So the only people I think who will look at it through, you know, a jaded lens will be those who were looking for reasons to denigrate that team for whatever other reason.
So then America should rise up as one and root for Atlanta to win.
Just for the chaos. I mean, I root for chaos, so sure, why not? But even then, look, Trae Young, you can already see it. Dude is really special, is going to have a long and incredible career. He's about the big games and big moments, and they do have some other great talent there, but they don't fit the typical profile on paper of a champion that we were used to seeing in this league.
You may have realized that as you were doing it, Howard, but when you said you root for chaos, you just endeared yourself to Ray Ratto more than ever before in your lifetime. On the Hawks issue, is this a team that is talented but young and on a hot streak? Or would you say that perhaps Nate McMillan's Hawks specifically are just one of the, seven or eight best teams in the league?
I think they are. I think Nate McMillan has done an incredible job. I thought it was insane when Indiana let him go in the first place. All that team did was exceed expectations and overachieve every single year that he was coaching them. I did not understand that decision whatsoever. And, you know, he takes over midseason after they fired Lloyd Pierce. And, you know, part of it was that they got healthy at the right time. Part of it was maybe needing a change of voice. And maybe just Nate McMillan being a far more experienced coach, maybe that's what they needed. And maybe, you know, it's really hard all with these things to kind of determine exactly which factor was the most important in a team suddenly having a breakthrough. But let's remember this, too. For the last couple of years, we've looked at what the Hawks were doing and saying there's something going on there. Something good's going on there. They've been drafting well. You don't have to like the Luka-Trae Young swap, but you could tell that Trae Young is really talented. And you could see that Kevin Huerter had something and John Collins had something. And they made the trade for Capella, and you could just see the pieces falling into place. I'm not saying I expect it to come together this spectacularly, this quickly. I don't think anybody did. But, you know, if you were to give them health to start the season, or if you want to say it's about the coaching, let's say Nate McMillan has started the season. Look at the rate that they won at. If they had done that the whole season without the injuries, without the coaching change, they would have been top four in the East. You know, the fact that they were top five, it shouldn't have mattered you know, that much perception-wise. But if they had been a home court advantage team in the first round, you look at them a little differently. If they hadn't, just made the playoffs for the first time in years this year, we would have looked at them differently. But on paper, on talent alone, did they already deserve probably to have the respect of being a top, would you say, seven or eight team in the league? I mean, yeah. They've shown it now, clearly. I don't think what the Hawks are doing right now is a fluke at all.
Here's the deal. You can't get to the Eastern Conference Finals if you're a bad team. I think we can all agree on that. That's for sure. The team that was supposed to be there, though, obviously is sitting around reviewing whether or not they should or shouldn't have trusted the process. I will still say that the process in some ways worked because they went from not mattering to a 50-win team that was a contender. But boy, obviously, all the ire coming down on Ben Simmons today is extreme. He is a skilled NBA player with a lot of merits. His one demerit, though, what do you think happens, Howard? Is he on the next train out of town in Philadelphia, or is there a reclamation project to try to build him once again?
Well, we know that a couple things. Daryl Morey, during his time in Houston, was incredibly aggressive and always looking to improve the Rockets and is not afraid of making big deals and likes making big deals. So there's one. Two, he already tried trading Ben Simmons once for James Harden. So, I think all those things add up to probably they're going to make a major move if they can, but you have to find a trading partner, and you have to find the right fit coming back. And so, you know, do I think that they will try to trade Simmons? Do I think it's time for them to seriously consider now breaking up the Simmons-Embiid pairing? Yeah, but, you know, the devil is in the details. They got to find the right deal. And, you know, I don't know how much Ben Simmons' trade value might be hurt now. That's a big, you know, theme over the last 24 hours. I mean, look, he's still a unicorn. He's still like a 6'10 guy who has, you know, point guard skills minus the shooting. But he's got great passing skills, great court vision, can defend 1 through 5. Like, he's still a really talented and impactful player. But he just might not be on the right team with the right co-star. And, you know, he certainly also needs to expand his game. Like, I think that's completely on Ben Simmons. And he has been really reticent to do that. And when it's been brought up before, he hems and haws and evades it. Or he says, as he did, you know, a couple of years ago, I made the All-Star team, as if that's the all-purpose reason why you don't have to expand your offensive repertoire. So a lot of that's on him. You know, the scary thing is he's so talented. You could trade him, and he might go discover his jump shot and his confidence in shooting it somewhere else. And then that could look really bad in retrospect. And remember, like, it takes guys some time. Now you have to want to shoot it, right? Like Jason Kidd, I was reminding somebody of this earlier today. Jason Kidd, as you guys probably recall, was once referred to as Asin because he's got no J. And then late in his career, mid-career, he really hones the three-point jumper, changes his game, makes him that much more dangerous. But he was a great, like Ben Simmons, he was already a great passer and defender before that. But the getting the three-point shot down made him that much better. But even before he was good at shooting it, he shot it on a semi-regular basis to keep defenses honest. And in this era, it's that much more important. For Ben Simmons not to have that in his game as a primary ball handler is really problematic in this era.
People have said throughout the last 24 hours that there is no comp for what has happened to Simmons. Is that in fact true, or are there other guys who have been this reluctant to do such a basic thing and never get out of it? Is there another Ben Simmons in the past that we're overlooking?
Nobody comes to mind. I mean, listen, there are plenty of guys who had holes in their game, right? Like Ben Wallace is going to the Hall of Fame this year and had no offensive game to speak of, minus a putback here and there, but he was a supreme defender and rebounder and shot blocker and all that. There are guys who have been one-dimensional and even as one and one-dimensional stars for that matter. Guys who you know were just really great at one or two things, did not have a complete well-rounded game. I think it would be more the fact that you know the talent is there, and also like his position kind of requires it. As I said earlier, I don't think you can be a primary ball handler in this league, in this era, and not have any jump shot, not be willing to shoot, and not keep developing those parts of your game. I mean, Giannis is at least willing to shoot it. Now, he went too far in the other direction at times, taking too many threes. But, you know, same criticism is fair of Giannis. Like, he's got to develop more of his mid-range game. It's not even just the three. It's do you have a pull-up game? Do you have a floater? Do you have – like defenses are going to find ways to take away what you do best, and they're going to sag off you, and they're going to make it harder on your teammates. So do something about it. And that's if you're a star in this league, and I'm not talking about role players who come in for 15 minutes and just try to lock somebody down or whatever. Nobody cares whether they expand their game. I mean, they should anyway. But the stars have to. That's your job. Keep improving. Keep evolving.
Looking at the game tomorrow, the perhaps two, and I don't know, we could argue about Booker and Paul, but perhaps the two brightest stars sidelined, do you expect we will see both Chris Paul and Kawhi Leonard again, and when, to the best guess?
I mean, I am talking out of my rear on this, but my best guess is that we will see Chris Paul sooner than later, because all the murmurings seem to be that he did get vaccinated, and so it's just a matter of time before they can clear him. And, you know, I don't, and there's been no indication that he's got symptoms or anything else. There's no reason to think he should be out for a long stretch here. They just have to abide by their own rules about when he can be cleared to come back. Kawhi Leonard, you know, sprained ACL, and it's been, what, a week or so, almost a week since we first heard that diagnosis, maybe a little less than a week. I think it's kind of concerning that we haven't heard any updates indicating that it's okay, because the sprain could mean it's a torn ACL. A sprain is a minor tear. And so it's just a matter of degree. And, you know, I think there's a chance we don't see Kawhi Leonard again this postseason.
I think you might be right about that. I mean, Paul George frames it by saying, you know, we're praying for him. You normally don't pray for a guy who's about to come back soon. So who knows? I don't know what to infer from that. We'll wrap things up with this, Howard Beck. I am never carrying not even a drop in a bucket of water for the Utah Jazz ever again. How do they let that series off the stick after Kawhi went down? And by the way, Terrence Mann, welcome to the NBA, man. You're awesome.
He was fun. Boy, what a story. 48th pick, I think. Just amazing. I mean, but also, listen, huge credit to Paul George. I mean, this is a guy who the whole universe had turned on. Like, everybody forgot, like, what he was when he was in Indiana, leading those Pacers teams to the conference finals back-to-back years, going toe-to-toe with LeBron James. He goes to Oklahoma, had one really great year. But then, the Clippers storyline for the last couple of years has just been that these guys, you know, gag in big situations. And Paul George made the mistake of speaking openly about mental health in the bubble. So, people were really down on him. And I think thought this is not a guy who's capable of carrying a team. And it's interesting. I mean, maybe the opposite is true. Maybe the fact that he's just had a really difficult time meshing with Kawhi Leonard and them trying to figure out the division of labor, where once Kawhi's out, all of a sudden Paul George is like, well, I got to do this. It's on me. I'm the only star left on this team. And man, he answered the call and then some. So he was great. Reggie Jackson, who's, bounced all over the league, came up huge for them. And then Terrence Mann as well, of course. So, I'm not putting this on the, we always do this, right? It was at one team's, success or the other team's failure. Did one team choke or did the other team just have a great comeback? Like, I'm not looking at this as a Jazz choke. I look at this as the Jazz overachieved by some stretch in the regular season. They were the best team in the league by record. But you know what? We've seen that with the Bucks too, the last couple of years, where they were the best team by record and lost. It's not always indicative of what you can do in the postseason, because it's the postseason when having superstars matters most. And the Jazz have a really great player in Donovan Mitchell and a great defender in Rudy Gobert, but Rudy Gobert is not your typical second star because he's not an offensive generator. And it's usually a LeBron and Anthony Davis or a, Steph and Kevin Durant and that kind of configuration. The Jazz don't have that. And I know that sounds reductive, but sometimes it's as simple as that. They just don't have the star power at that level. And you could say, well, the Clippers didn't either without Kawhi. Okay, but Paul George is a really dynamic scorer. And the Clippers found some things that worked, especially the small ball, and some guys just broke through. So, disappointment for Utah, sure, but I don't see this as some major failing by them. They are who they are.
Howard, let's say the Warriors get that 0.2% chance and 14 becomes 1-2-3, and they take the Minnesota pick at 4, like, do fans just storm NBA offices to burn them down at that point, screaming conspiracy?
I mean, fans are willing to spin anything into a conspiracy theory anyway. Like, it doesn't matter what the outcome is. It's always a conspiracy for somebody. That's the beauty of conspiracy theories. There is nothing that can dissuade you if you believe in this nonsense, that, like, every outcome just proves the conspiracy somehow. So,
can you prove that, though? That could be a conspiracy. That answer sounds like a conspiracy to me. Howard, thank you very much. Great to talk to you as always.
Thanks, fellas.
Howard Beck here on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.